For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It is the last 32 in both the FA Trophy and the FA Vase. We speak to one manager who was perhaps a little surprised at finding himself there, but after 8 years in his job, he's earned the luck his side have enjoyed at times in this competition, along with a passion, desire and ability they have shown along the way too. Yes, Steve Baker's Harrowborough welcome FC Halifax Town in the FA Trophy, and he's well prepared on how they might turn out and why his side need to be on the very best of their game. Giving us an insight into the FA Vase, it's Phil Annette with his at FA Vase fact file hat on. A magical round creating history, friendships and plenty of non-league passion. He also gives us a heads up on the return of the Generations Cup, celebrating those clubs who took part in the first decade of the FA Cup competition. Rounding up the week's news, including managerial changes, clubs for sale, and who from Non-League Paper Towers is the Love Island expert, it's editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Batcock, returning to the Non-League Football Show. So sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So this weekend does then see the FA Trophy hit round four. I'm not sure that title actually gives it the justice it deserves, though. The last 32 description, that's what it is. That really shows that the level that the club's taking part have reached. Some, of course, from the National League have had buys to get this far, but our next guest, as a manager of a Step 3 club, has already won four games to get to this stage, and he'll be hoping to gee up his side to make it five. To tell us more, let's welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Harrowborough, Mr. Steve Baker. Welcome back, Steve.
Hi, Tim. How you doing, mate? You okay?
Always good to have a chat with you. Now, looking at your run in this competition, an away win at Corinthian Casuals in October, a home win over some club, Hazen Yedding, I don't know what happened there at the end of the same month, a very impressive 4-2 away win at Concord Rangers in November, and then a midweek win just before Christmas at Swindon Supermarine. You've not had the easiest of routes, and now you've got FC Halifax Town, your visitors in this next round. If you're going to progressing in this competition, you're doing it the hard way.
Yeah, well, for Saturday is certainly up the ante, that's for sure. But I think my record in the trophy since I've been here, which should be 8 years next month, is probably up there with anyone else that's got the worst record ever in the trophy. I think we got through one round since I've been here, and that was probably a bye. It's just been one of them competitions. We've never done well in it. We've always got a tough draw and gone out and just never done well. And we've done well in local cups. We've had a couple of obviously great FA Cup runs. And then when we went out the FA Cup this year in the first round, we sort of said to the lad, come on, let's see if we can run in the trophy for once. And but it's been a bit of a strange one because we played really, really well in all the games. But we've had a little bit of luck or things that have gone right for us in all the games as well, which has reminded me of previous cup runs where, and I'm sure you've experienced with Hayes, you look back and you think, that went right for us on the day, or that went right. And even like with the first one you mentioned there, Corinthian Casuals away, because a tree fell on their clubhouse, it was moved to our ground. So that was like something you weren't expecting. Then we looked like we were going to go out, and then we won on penalties. And we won't mention the Hayes game. I know you don't want to talk about that. We'll leave that one there. And then Concord, just had a change of manager. They were cup tied, although we were brilliant on the day. I'm not taking anything away from ourselves. And then we went to Swindon, 1-0 down. They then scored a perfectly good second goal, which I think would probably have killed it. Referee decided to disallow it, and then ended up scoring two in the last 20. So it's had that sort of feel about it, and it's been a good run so far, but we've had tough games so far, but obviously Saturday's taken it to a different level.
But those sort of little gems of insight there, as to how you've got there, they're the sort of stories as a journalist that make me think, there's nothing that couldn't be achieved. You've got this big game, hopefully Saturday. I mean, looking heavy rain across the country, including Middlesex, it's got to be a risk of postponement. But in a way, could that play into your hands with Halifax, them having to make then a trip on a cold and probably wet Tuesday evening to play the game?
Well, it certainly wouldn't help them, that's for sure. I mean, looking at the pitch today and the weather forecast, I think we've got half a chance for Saturday. The pitch is normally pretty good here. I can't think of many games we've had off here because of rain in my time here, maybe two or three over 8 years. So we're normally, and Saturday, like the pitch, because it had pulled off Saturday because Western slapped us Saturday, but the pitch was great on Saturday. So I think we've got a good chance. And I mean, from a club point of view, they're hoping it's on Saturday because you'll probably get a few more people through the gate as well, which will help. But yeah, I mean, if it does get moved, either way, they've got a long old journey to come down here. And we've all been at clubs where you're on that side of it, where you're travelling away to the side that's two leagues below you. You don't know what the pitch is going to be like, long journey. They may make a few changes, which I'm expecting a little bit, if I'm being honest, based on the report I heard from their manager and a couple of players coming back that might need a bit of game time. Ultimately, listen, trophy's a huge competition, but I'm sure, as it does with us, your league does take preference. Obviously, we won't be resting anyone Saturday. We can't. I don't know. But at the minute, we're hoping it'll be on for Saturday, and that's what we're planning for.
And because they're a higher level, does that make it easier to do your research and sort of, obviously the distance doesn't help, but does that make give you more insight into the sort of club, the sort of setup that they're going to come along with and play against you?
Yeah, I think the one thing that we can, well, I can certainly, I've got a lot more information on Halifax than I can get on anyone in our league, apart from the ones that I would actually physically go and watch. The higher the clubs are, the more information you can get on them, and can give me stats I didn't even know existed. So I've not even gone that deep into it because I'll be learning things that won't give us that much benefit. But I've certainly been able to get a lot more access to a lot more stuff than I would normally be able to. We've not been able to go and watch them because, I mean, since the draw, I think obviously where they're based as well, they've had a couple of home games. And so we're not there to go and watch them physically, but I've watched four of their games this week anyway on video and looked at a few other bits and pieces. So I would say sort of the level of detail that I've looked at this week will be the same as what we had for Portsmouth last year because you've got access to it. And I'd like to think we'll go into Saturday with sort of no stone unturned in regards to research and what we need to work on and what we need to certainly improve on from the game we've just done. We know that they watched us Saturday. That could be, hopefully, maybe not a bad thing because we were very, very poor.
You didn't have the best of results, did you?
Listen, mate, there's nothing wrong with conceding time on a Saturday. You know that. we were a little bit like rabbit in the headlights first half hour Saturday. Listen, Western were great. I'm not taking anything away from them. Second half, we were really good, mate. We missed a penalty. We scored, missed three great chances. It could have ended up about 8-5, but we didn't deserve to get the game. But I thought a few of our players froze a bit Saturday, which was a bit of a concern because I said to them, well, next week you're going to a totally different level. So if you can't deal with Western Supermare at home in front of 214 people, you need to buck your ideas up this weekend. Not so much because of the crowd, but who you're going to be playing against. So in an odd way, that might not have been a bad thing for us Saturday to get a little bit of a wake-up call before we go into this one. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so as well as being, you know, social worker this week as well, I always like fans to get an understanding that being a manager is not just about being in the dugout for everyone to abuse it. You've mentioned the research you've had to do on the teams, the games you've watched to know how you're going to set up to play against them. But to say you're an integral part now to Harrowborough is something of an understatement. I'd imagine your chores list at the club is longer than the one that even I have at home.
It's a lot. I don't know about that. it's a lot longer than it was when I started here, I can tell you that. It's a funny one. Probably once you get into the dugout every single week, and I'm sure Paul would tell you the same than any other manager, no one will know how, apart from probably your staff to a certain extent, will know how much you've done that week in that prep work for the game. Because a lot of people think you just, well, you've got your squad, you train for an hour on a Thursday, and you turn, and that's it. But by the time you get to the game, sometimes that's the easy bit when the game starts. But it's a part-time job that takes full-time hours, and we're always all on the phone to each other. You're watching games, you're out scouting, you're doing this, you're doing that. We don't have loads of people to do it for us. I've had a little bit of help with Halifax. in regards to access of what I've been able to look at this week. But I've taken 2 days off work this week purposely just to sit at home just watching it, because it's not very often that you're playing a game like that and you're into the you're coming up to the last 32 of the trophy if you can get yourself through. Mm. And I don't think Harrow got to the trophy semi-final years and years ago. But I think this is the furthest the club's got for about 20, 25 years. Mm. And it's weird because we've sort of just ticked along and got through another round, got through another round. It almost felt like, to begin with, and I don't mean it's disrespectful as a tournament, to begin with, it almost felt like a bit like playing in the Middlesex Cup in regards to, oh, we've got through another round. And then you don't take too much notice of it till the next. It's not like, it doesn't have that FA Cup feel where you're like, oh, the draw's coming out for the first round. Mm. And all of a sudden, we were like, well, we've got through four games here, and financially, it's been quite good for the club, which they certainly need. Mm. All of a sudden, you start seeing some of the names that were coming into that draw, and you're like,
well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's a massive competition. We know that. Yeah, you've got Wembley at the end of it. But looking at the names still in there, Oldham Athletic, Dagenham and Redbridge, Southend United, Notts County, FC Halifax Town coming to you. You're already in impressive company. But what would it mean to you and the club to make the last 16?
Oh, that would just be phenomenal. I mean, we've already overachieved on what the club has done for a long, long time. But anyone to tell you, obviously, when you get to this stage, you want to take that a step further. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not for 1 minute thinking ahead of Saturday or what you could get, what you could do, blah, blah, blah. But we have to go into that game, and not so much me, more the players, of that belief that you might be able to win the game on the day. Because there's been sides from step three that have won that trophy in the last couple of years. And there's been one or two, I think, from step two that have got to the final as well or won it. I haven't got all in front of me off the top of my head, but I know sides not necessarily from the top level have been successful in it. And that's not me getting carried away or thinking ahead of myself, because, God, to get anywhere near that, you'd have to perform miracles. But there's nothing to say that we can't put on a real good shift and give a good account of ourselves Saturday and give ourselves a chance of winning the game. Everything will need to go for us. Mm. And when I speak about the previous games and those little bits of luck in games or where decisions went right for you, or you took the chance that you might have missed a week before in the league, they've all gone for us. And we'll need exactly the same Saturdays. It is a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. We'll need to be 100% on it Saturday. We'll need to take any chances we get. We'll probably need a little bit of luck. And we'll need them to have an off day. Listen, I'm hoping their manager does decide to make a few changes to give a few run out, because ultimately, if it's not their strongest 11, that percentage-wise of beating them, that comes up a small touch. They're still going to be very, very good players who are ultimately trying to play themselves back into the side. But wherever he sends down here is going to be a very, very good side. And they're a massive club. I mean, I've grown up. Mm. Obviously, remember Halifax being in the league. And even when they dropped down, and like the names you mentioned there, the likes of Halifax, Wrexham, Oldham, and that's what we was hoping for in the draw, to be honest. It's a little bit like the FA Cup. You either want to, maybe like at this stage, you either want to get someone at your level that you think, right, we could definitely beat them, or you want to get a big name at home. Yeah. So when that, I mean, the draw came out before the Swindon game because it was called off on that particular weekend. So I think that gave it a little bit of an extra edge to know that if you got through, that you had Halifax on the end of it. But no, it's a brilliant, brilliant draw. But it's a game we've got to go into having more belief than we had Saturday.
Yeah,
because we put a lot of work in.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's you against another side, isn't it? Yeah, it could be whether it's the wind blows the ball, the referee makes a bad decision, their striker can't hit a barn door. And again, you create your own luck, and it looks like you are in this competition. You mentioned you've been at Harrow Borough. I think you took over there actually January 2015 from our own Dave Anderson. And to be honest, he left you in a bit of a pile of poo, but you avoided relegation, and you've built ever since. In fact, I'm looking at you, you're probably on the long list of longest serving managers in non-league, given the current trend.
I think someone said to me at the club the other day, I think I'm just a couple of games away from being the longest serving manager at the club and not far off 500 games. Obviously we've had COVID during that, so we've lost a few games in a couple of seasons. Listen, it feels like I've been here forever. When I first come here, I mean, one thing that did appeal me coming to the club is that they weren't a sacking club. They stick with managers and they work with you. And if you're trying to sort of build something longer term, you haven't got that worry of if you lose two or three on the spin, your job's under threat every 5 minutes, which allows you to get on and try and do what you're trying to do. But yeah, listen, I've been here a long time. It's a tough, bang and wrong, it's a very, very tough job. It's not a tough job because of the people in and around the club. The people are great, the chairman's great, and everyone does everything they can. It's a tough job week in, week out because of what we're up against financially in the league. But everyone knows that. And it's the same for most managers, albeit slightly different levels or who you're competing against. So it's, yeah, listen, we've had ups and downs since I've been here. And we had the worst time would be the year that we got a reprieve where we finished fourth from bottom on goal difference on 53 points, which I don't think will ever be done again. Because 53 points, normally you finish mid-table. Yeah. Bit of a freak of a year, but ultimately it did happen. But we've had other very, very good moments in that. As I mentioned, we've had two FA Cup first rounds. We've won two local cups, another cup final. And I think we've had some really good league finishes if you're basing it on a budget, which I think you should base where you finish on budget. And I think we punch above where we should be, because if you base it on a budget, we should get relegated every year. Not that I go in with that mindset, but it's got tougher and tougher in the last couple of years. And this year's probably, certainly at the start of the season, was the toughest because we lost so many players in the summer. I lost a lot of staff as well, so it was a rebuild on and off the pitch, and we were miles off it from where we needed to be at the start. But we're a very young side as well. But it's slowly got better and better, and we're playing. We're not always getting the results I think we deserve, but most managers will tell you that. But we're playing well, and we're a young side that will have a go, and we might need to be slightly more conservative, I think, on Saturday. That's down to me to tweak a couple of little things, because I think we've got to be sensible that you don't lose the game in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we did on Saturday.
I love the fact that you've worked your way up as a manager as well. I say you've been at Haribo for 8 years, but you've done your apprenticeship as well with other clubs after a decent non-league playing career. But I know you wish you had the knowledge or the nous you have now as a manager when you were a player, and you do try and pass that on to the younger players that you have in your squad as well. It's all about developing not only the club, but the individuals as well.
Yeah, and I think that's... Listen, we've all got strengths and weaknesses as managers. I won't go through the weaknesses because you probably ain't got time. But I think one of my strengths since I've been here, I think, has been developing young players. Now, some of that is forced upon us because we have to shop at the lower levels or give the youngsters a chance. So rather than them, because we don't pay fortunes here, they can go and sit on someone else's bench and pick up £200 or £300 a week and not play. Or they can come here and earn a lot less but get the experience of playing if they're ready for it, or we think they're not far off playing week in, week out. And I mean, if I take an example, when we drew with you guys a couple of weeks ago, our average age was 20 on the day. And we've got some good young players in that. And I personally get a kick out of working with the young lads and hopefully trying to develop them. And I mean, a lot of my career was cut short for injury, but I did every stupid thing you could ever imagine any player could do on and off the pitch. Made every mistake going, but I did a lot of good stuff as well. And you just try and keep on to the boys all the time, especially these days as well. There's so much more opportunity out there for players to earn more money. You could be a full-time player nowadays and earn good money without being a pro. In our day, that didn't exist. And to make it from non-league into a pro, there wasn't many that did it because it was a little bit of a closed shop. And that's all I say to the lads all the time. If you're playing week in, week out for us and you're doing well, you're scoring goals or you're defending well at the back, then that might, in 2 years' time, you might be doing that for a conference side, or you might be signing up for a pro team. And that's the approach that we go along. And it has helped us. At times we could do it with a bit more experience in there. But it's something that I certainly like. And I think we're pretty good at it here.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, as a manager, there's a fair bit of stick to be had. FC Halifax supporters, they're going to be closer to the pitch at Ellesmead than maybe perhaps other grounds they go to. Are you able to switch off, or will be some of that special Baker banter ready and waiting?
I'll have a bit of banter here and there, mate. But once the game goes, I'm sort of like most managers, I'm in a little bit of a zone. We don't get big crowds here, so I don't get too much stick here and there. I get the odd mention about the airline, but I think I can live with that. But I think I'm a pretty fair manager on the side. They probably all say that, to be honest. But no, listen, it is what it is. And crowd-wise, I don't know what we're expecting Saturday. I'm not too sure. I did speak to a guy called Tom from the Halifax Courier, who seemed to think there might have a couple of hundred coming down. I'd like to think we'd maybe get a few more on the gate. And if there is a few more local games off because of the weather, that might add to the crowd as well. But that's what you want to do as a manager and as players. And I hark back to it like last year. You're standing on the side of Fratton Park with 8,000 people. I couldn't get enough of that. It's brilliant. And if you're standing in front of big crowds and you're getting a bit of stick and this and that, you're probably doing something right. Which is where I want to go. And I'm still extremely ambitious as a manager. And if someone said to me 8 years ago, you're still a bit Harren 8 years, I probably wouldn't have thought it would be. Whether that had been the club's choice or I might have hoped that I would have pushed myself on. But obviously circumstances with COVID and everything else that's gone on, and timing in football is a very important thing. But I still think I'm an extremely young manager, but I've got a lot of experience now. And I still want to move on. Listen, I'd love that to be with Harrow Borough. The difficulty with Harrow is to move on, you've got to get yourselves out of the league. And that is almost a near on impossible task at our club, to challenge for a promotion. But you always have that belief of, could you put a side together good enough to make the playoffs? We nearly did it 1 year. We won't do it this year, and we didn't do it last year. But that's the thing that you strive for, and that's exactly what the players should be doing as well. And Saturday is an opportunity for all of us to stick ourselves in that window and do all right. And who knows, if you win a game, see where it takes you off the back of that.
Well, as you've already said, you created your own luck this year. Maybe it is your season. Steve Baker, best of luck at the weekend and for the rest of the season. Thank you for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Lovely. Cheers, Tim. Take care, mate. Bye.
So it is the last 32 in both the FA Trophy and the FA Vase this weekend. I have to admit, the trophy may be the senior competition, but it is the Vase that still retains the extra magic for me, especially this round. Why, I hear you cry? Well, let's find out from the man in the know, the man with a get up and go to examine these things, and the man I speak to probably more often than my wife, it seems. He is, of course, our very own stat man, quickly changing his hat to join us this week on the Non-League Football Show at FA Vase fact file himself, Mr. Phil Innes. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Always good to come back, whichever hat I happen to be wearing. But yes, FA Vase for me this weekend.
Yeah, it's a good time to be wearing additional hats, to be honest. It looks like, you know, I've certainly had to wear mine to keep the rain off today. Additional magic this round, Phil. I looked at your in-depth fourth round preview again. 17 divisions represented in the 16 ties. It really is the competition that pulls non-league together and shows off its strength in depth.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's not normal for this early in a competition to have every team facing a club from a division that they are not involved in. So it's a great way of bringing the non-league community together across the country. And some clubs are having to travel quite some distance to get involved in the fourth round this season.
Yeah, maybe that's not a great thing in the middle of January, when we know that, you know, some of these pitches could be in doubt. Maybe some of these games, hopefully some early call-offs, that is going to be a problem. But I've said before, the FA Vase is where clubs, you make friends for life. You know, whether you're a fan, even players, but certainly behind the scenes, those people off the field, clubs that you wouldn't have come across before, you do make these connections, and a great opportunity this time around with these last 32 clubs that are involved.
Well, yeah, that's right. So we've got clubs from the northeast playing clubs in the northwest, and clubs from the southeast going all the way down to the southwest. So they're all going to make even though it's competitive, they do tend to make friends with each other as a consequence of getting together in such a wonderful competition as the FA Vase. And so really looking forward to seeing who comes through, because, you know, a lot of these ties, it's very difficult to be able to gauge who actually will be the better side of the two.
Yeah, indeed. Plenty of familiar names, including former winners Deal Town and current holders Newport Pagnell Town, but also a chance for half of those 32 to make history.
That's right. It's amazing, isn't it? Out of all the 32 clubs, 16 of them have actually never gone beyond the fourth round of the FA Vase before. So There's going to be a lot of clubs celebrating, and we have a few ties where it's guaranteed that the winner will actually make history for the club, many of which are already on a record run. So Bury AFC host Holker Old Boys. Neither of those sides have made it to the fourth round before, so already celebrating history for the club, but one of them will be celebrating even more. And likewise, we have West Didsbury and Chorlton, who are hosting Hawarden Community Welfare. And West Didsbury have never been beyond the first round in past VARS tournaments, and Hawarden Community Welfare actually taking part in the VARS for the very first time. So for them, this is a fantastic debut season. And one other tie where the winner is guaranteed to be in the fifth round for the first time is Brixham, who are the last representatives of the South West Peninsula League, who are hosting Rains Park Vale, who are one of the clubs who have to travel some distance to take part in the fourth round this year.
That's certainly, I haven't looked at the mileage on that one, but that's an early start, I think, from the for those making that lengthy trip. And Brixham, of course, one of is it four Step 6 clubs still involved in the competition, which is also a great sign of the strength in depth across the pyramid.
Well, that's true, yes. So they've got a home draw, which is the only one of the four to have that. And the four mentioned Hawarden Community Welfare, obviously Step 6, and Holker Old Boys, who we mentioned earlier also. And the final one of the four is Hart Perry University, who have a tough away trip at Atherstone Town Community Club. So yeah, all four of the Step 6 clubs have got really tough ties, and it'd be interesting to see if any one of them can make it through to the next round.
Yeah, and am I correct in recalling that Hartbury University, one of the sides you've watched in person earlier on in the season, didn't look out of place in this competition?
Yeah, that they have held their own completely throughout the competition. They've won quite comfortably in a couple of games, and having a fantastic first foray to get this far. I mean, it has been done before. Obviously, clubs have even gone on to lift the VARS in their very first campaign, but it'll be interesting to see a Step 6 side if they can keep that run going.
Yeah, and all those, yeah, we've got these debutants, we've got people that haven't gone any further than this in the past as well. But interesting as well, that just two ties are repetitions of past ones in the FA VARS. The aforementioned Newport Pagnell Town, I think they're at home to Leighton Town. And Egham Town taking on Peacehaven and Telscombe. And again, I just love the little snippets, the little extra depth that you always put into your preview about the potential for history to be made in that Egham Town Peacehaven Telscombe tie.
Oh, yeah, because Egham have won both of the times they met before, last meeting back in the 06-07 season. And so it could be third time lucky for Peacehaven and Telscombe. But a win for Egham themselves would take them into the fifth round the very first time. So, if they can get a third win out of three, yeah, history for the club. But I'm sure that Peacehaven will be keen, obviously, to make it third time lucky for themselves.
Yeah, so we have got these clubs that are, you know, they're having the greatest season that they've ever had, or potential to have the best season in the VARS at least. But, I mean, regular listeners to the show will know of Anstey Nomads and the club they're building and how they're building it there, particularly after their FA Cup run earlier this season. But Anstey, looking to make it 3 years in the row in the fifth round this weekend?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So fantastic performances they've put on in both cup competitions in recent times. And it's good to see that they are doing again this season up against AFC Wolfenians. It won't be an easy game for them away from home, but they're still fancy their chances to continue their run into the fifth round again. Although, you know, the Wolverhampton side are yet to make it to the fifth round, and we'll be looking themselves to make competition history for the club.
Yeah, whilst we've mentioned that half have yet to go beyond this round in the competition, clubs like Anstey and many others, they seem to have late stage experience. It's almost sort of the experienced boys against the youngsters, isn't it? When I look across this round, the sort of names that you've seen have gone. Plenty have made it to the quarterfinals and even the semis in the past. And you just wonder whether they'll be actually hoping that they'll look at these debutant sides or clubs that haven't gone this far and maybe thinking, well, actually, we've done it, gone so far before. Maybe this is our season.
Well, this is the thing. Every club still standing in the VARS will think it's their season, whether they're someone who's had many campaigns in the past and have been there or thereabouts in the past, or if they're running through for the first time. But I think it's the nature of the way the restructure has happened over recent times that has led to this situation where you've got quite a few clubs who are at this stage for the first time in their history, up against clubs who have obviously had their moment in the sun in the past. As you know, a couple of former winners, and as you said, Walsall would have made it to the semi-finals in the past as well. So experience amongst some of the teams too.
Yeah, so there'll be plenty of tales told on the terraces, or probably told in the journeys that some of these fans have got, and the coaches for the players and officials and that sort of thing. But as ever, in your preview, being the wordsmith you are, of course you've spotted the fabulous fact about two of those former quarterfinalists. Do you want to share some of your insight with the listeners?
Well, you know, I love to find nuances for clubs when they're facing opposition for the first time. And Clevedon Town and Harefield United are past quarter-finalists in the competition. But Clevedon Town played in 20 years in the Vars, and Harefield United will be the first club they face at the beginning of the letter H. So one of my lovely little quirky facts about match-ups in the Vars and what I do in the Cup as well.
And from somebody that's involved with a club that begins with H, there's quite a few clubs that begin with H. You just scroll through the various FA databases when you have to fill in forms, and rather than allowing you to type it in, you obviously have to scroll through those things. Why do they always put those, like when you're filling in a form, the UK's always at the bottom. They know, why do I have to scroll through all of those? At least with an H, I suppose, where I'm in the middle of the alphabet. I'm quite lucky in that regard.
Well, you've got to get all the way to HAY if you're looking for yourself, and there are a heck of a lot of teams that are given a H and an A, so you're right, you do have to scroll through quite a few to get it. It's something I raised a couple of seasons ago in the FA Cup about how many clubs there were that began with HA. It was like an eighth of the overall competition had clubs' names beginning with HA, which was quite phenomenal, I guess, if you like that kind of thing.
And I do, and I'm waiting for your appearance on Mastermind to deal with these non-league quirks and facts. But until then, we'll keep you in our own fold. Weather permitting, all 16 ties in the FA Vars fourth round this Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs. What's taken your eye this weekend to go and see?
Well, I always like to try and see a game where you might get history in the making for the club, the home club in particular. So heading down to Corsham Town in Wiltshire to see them take on one of the two former winners, Deal Town, who are having a great run in the Vars this season. So either get to see a team make it to the fifth round, for the first time ever, or maybe even get to see a former winner on their way back to Wembley.
Oh, and what a tale your tale as well. Whilst I have you on, Tufil, with your FA Cup hat on, let's just flick that over. I don't know, would it be an FA Cup hat? Or it would probably be a different type of headwear, I think. Because what can you tell us about the forthcoming Generations Cup that it's coming back again this season?
Yeah, the Generation Cup was a fantastic tournament that took place last year in sort of commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the FA Cup, as well as an ongoing competition that is run. They've got 18 clubs who are associated with teams that took the FA Cup in the days before the Football League started. So you've got clubs like Bolton Wanderers and Preston North End from the Football League, but you've also got associate clubs to Wanderers, and they've got Royal Engineers involved, and the Civil Service, and Upton Park, and a whole host of 18 clubs in total who will play each other at three different venues, at the Civil Service and at Charterhouse School and at Darwin across the end of January, early February, for an opportunity to get through to a final that's held later on in the year in March at St George's Park. And it's called the Generation Cup because the sides are made up of people who are in my age bracket in the 50s plus, alongside youngsters coming through for the club's early days. And there has to be a certain mix of older and younger, and even some father-son combinations in each team. And last year it was won by Crystal Palace at St George's Park. who won out of around Robin of three clubs. And again, the final stage will be three of these 18 teams going in around Robin at St. George's Park in, I think, March. Sometime late in March of 2023.
Yeah, it is a great celebration of football across the ages, really, but also, you know, as you say, bringing people together. I guess there'd probably be players in those sides that have maybe had that opportunity to play in the real FA Cup, but there's also be that opportunity for those that haven't to play in this competition, which, as you say, you get to play the finals at St. George's Park. As you say, the qualifying games take place over civil service in Chiswick in London. I think that's Sunday the 22nd of January. The Charterhouse School in Surrey, there's some games on Sunday the 29th of January. And then up in Lancashire at Darwin FC, Sunday the 5th of February. So there's an opportunity for everybody around the country, every non-league fan, to get involved, get behind the Generations Cup. And then, you know, who knows? You may also get to see the side, follow your side through and get to see them win a National Cup competition at St. George's Park too.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a great little competition, and it was well attended across all the venues last season, and hopefully it will be the same again this year. And as you said, you know, whichever part of the country you're in, you should be able to get to one of the three sets of round robin matches that happen.
Well, I mean, that's all to come in the next coming weeks. But this weekend is, of course, the FA Vars fourth round. Before you go, remind people where they can read your full FA Vars fourth round preview and follow all your stats on the Vars and the FA Cup.
Yeah, so obviously on Twitter, I'm very prominent now. I run FA Vars Fact File and FA Cup Fact File on that platform. And through both of those, you can get through to my previews and reviews of both competitions. And currently, obviously, the fourth round preview for the Vars is there with every single one of the 16 ties covered with stats and facts for every game.
And of course, if you do use Phil's stats, please give him the relevant credit he deserves, because without him, there'd be many a journalist floundering across the various competitions this season and seasons going forward. So always great to acknowledge Phil's input. Always great to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Thanks again for your time, Phil, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tim.
So time then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bancock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. What about yourself? I understand you've been struggling with illness over recent weeks. Are you back to full fitness? Have you had that non-league fitness test and walking from the car into the changing rooms? Or
if it was the FA Cup third round, Tim, today or tomorrow, I'd play. I'd be able to start. I'm back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do a job.
In on Dave Anderson's list, anybody, people that haven't played football for 25 years would probably play in the or be available for the third round. Probably, but it's good to hear. Good to hear you get back, because it's been a busy old time, and it's good that you're back, because we've got another busy weekend. The fourth round ties in both the FA Vars and FA Trophy. Although it does look like the weather might be ready to play a hand again this weekend.
Yeah, I've taken to just not looking at the weather forecast, because I figure that if I don't know about it, I will enjoy my day tomorrow before Saturday, getting in and dealing with the carnage. But it is looking a little... You see, when you see clubs sort of tweeting saying, we've got with Harrow saying, we've got a big game against Halifax, sort of, then in brackets, kind of weather permitting, you know, no. But yeah, it could be... It could be a wet one if the games are on, but lots of exciting ties in both competitions, and it's kind of getting, it feels like it's getting to that stage now where you get through this round and then you start to really thinking about Wembley. We're into the last 32 now, aren't we? So it's a lot of chance to get to the last 16 of the competitions, and slowly but surely that Wembley arch starts coming into view.
It does indeed, and that's all on the back of obviously the great performances from the non-league contingent in the FA Cup third round.
Yeah, brilliant. Obviously, Wrexham leading the way. They're not too. Like about wrestling, they're not boring now, are they? You know, they sort of serve up these thrillers.
I was lucky enough to watch that game on S4C. Didn't find the red button to have the English commentary, so I listened to it in Welsh, and I've learned some new phrases that even my Welsh friends hadn't taught me over the years. But it was a fantastic game. I mean, that was one of those classic FA Cup third round ties.
Yeah, look, bro, I mean, I sort of watched the highlights when I got home on Saturday night, and you know, you just tell the atmosphere was brilliant. You know, Rorda, I think it was there 4,500 Wrexham fans there, and you know, they could just tell they sort of made it for an occasion. You could see, you know, see the way Coventry was, fans were celebrating and getting it back, and they got it back to 4-2, and how kind of sort of, you know, absorbed by it they were, and you know, red cards, and Wrexham riding their luck towards the end, and woodwork, and all these kind of things that make it, that make make these games and make them so exciting. And you know, you just see the scenes. I mean, I remember going down to Brighton a few years ago when Wrexham were, I think that was in the third round, and their support down there was phenomenal. And I always remember Adrian Chislevich scoring an equaliser and the sort of the noise that came from behind the goal. And obviously they went to Stoke a few years ago. They've sort of had a good little record in the FA Cup and getting to that sort of stage. But this was getting through this time. And looked like a fantastic game. And then look at the Chesterfield West Brom one, and yeah, Chesterfield so close to getting through. You know, just real heartbreak at the end of Brandon Thomas Asante scored the equaliser to make it 3-3. I think he's suspended now, isn't he, for the after sort of a retrospective action on an incident in that game. You think, well, if he wasn't on the pitch, you know, what happens when you, it's all whiff buts maybe and sliding doors, isn't it? But you know, so close, and they at least got that chance to go again as a Bourne Wood who got it back against Accrington, and sort of really fancy, sort of still fancied one of those to can at least one of them get through. It'd be brilliant if they could and join Wrexham in the fourth round.
Yeah, disappointing again that no replay TV coverage for those two, because they'd worked so hard to get there, and it would just be nice, as I say, that Wrexham game that I watched that was on S4C was a classic FA Cup tie, and I don't think that anybody watching one of these non-league sides that are left in the competition are going to be disappointed with the football they play or the passion that they show.
Well, I think, you know, I think we both understand and know that there's obviously a commercial sort of aspect to the games that they pick and how they have to pick games, and obviously viewing figures dictate, and they will know better than we do. Sort of, you know, obviously what brings in their figures and things, but I just sort of sometimes feel that they're missing these sort of games, you know, and these sort of thrilling games that take place. You know, I think back to last season, Kidderminster beating Reading wasn't on, and you think about this year, Alvechurch, you know, amazing run that they had and everything, you know, all the excitement of them getting to the first round and then going to Cheltenham and they won. And, you know, again, it wasn't on TV because they sort of, you know, there's always that kind of feeling that if it's at a league club's home, then there won't be an upset. So we've seen so many over the years now that you sort of feel like they are being these sort of exciting, big, great moments are sort of being missed a little bit on our TV. Now, I know TV's not everything. There's still people, you know, people love the 3 o'clock kickoffs, and you know, I don't know how many people would have known that Wrexham was on S4C last week, and maybe people sort of missed the opportunity to see that. But I just think it's, you know, I'm sure in the coming years, the way that TV is,
all the games will be evolving,
everything, probably all the games will be on event, and it won't be kind of as much of a thing. But it does seem a little bit of a shame to not see, and also because of the storylines and. So I'm not here like criticising what I just think are they? But you know,
they miss out on that potential engagement, I think, going forward, because you know, it's a bit like you would never in terms of a new drama coming on TV, because you'd never watched that drama before. You didn't watch it because you'd never watched it before. you have to watch something to get engaged with it, to understand it and sort of follow the story. And I just think that invariably there's a at least a talking point with a non-league, you know, even if it ends.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. Storylines are great.
But they might, example, Yedding Newcastle, way back 18 years ago now, 61 minutes, it was still 0-0. That was the story. That was the magic. We lost the game, but that was the thing that captured everybody's imagination in being able to watch that game. That, you know, that still means that we've got a Norwegian supporters society because of that game, and that, you know, there's more people that are probably engaged with non-league football because they watch that game, whether they're involved at my club or another club, because they watch that non-league environment. And it is just, like in everything, always say, broaden your horizons and you'll learn and you'll gain. And that's all I'd just like to see is some of those selections that help educate people about the wider world of football.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also, you know, these are often, you know, the biggest days in some of these clubs' history, in first and second rounds and things. Up there, there certainly. And, you know, even like you say, even if they don't win. And obviously, you know, they do, there are lots of games that go on in those early rounds, but you sort of just feel that sometimes you get to this sort of stage and those ones are kind of missed a little bit. Also, there's the money that gets put back into the lower league. You know, it's League Two clubs as well. It's got, you know, sort of think they could have a right to be on, and it puts money back into. And I mean, I'm not saying it. Yeah, some of these clubs need money, but you know, compared to the Premier League club, it doesn't touch the size, is it? When they get it, so you know, it's it is kind of an interesting talking point. But I think, yeah, it is a shame that again in this sort of next round that you won't get a chance to sort of see the non-league clubs, and there might be, you know, it's not exactly the most, well, West Brom, Chesterfield, you know, West Brom have been on a great run, and you probably won't give Chesterfield much of a chance on Saturday, and they showed that they, you know, they were, you know, literally seconds away from winning it. It's not the craziest thing in the world to think that they could go to West Brom and win, and certainly not for Bournemouth going to Accrington. You know, Bournemouth beat a Championship side in Bournemouth last year. They beat Wimbledon as well, League One at the time, Bristol Rovers. But yeah, exactly. So there's a definite chance there, and it's kind of that sort of storyline that is probably a bit more interesting than Liverpool Wolves replay, which I think's on, and which is obviously already, the first game's already been on, which is, you know, again, fine, because then, you know, that's obviously going to bring them in numbers, and I guess that, you know, there's that balance that they have to have. And I agree, from our where we sit, it's a
no-brainer, but again, that's always, you know, we try and adopt the fan persona as well and look at football from that, and we've got a little bit extra insight, and then we try and educate the fans, and so yeah, you know, until you're wearing that hat, you never know. And I look at the well, I would say, you know, one of the big talking points of the week, the big managerial casualty this weekend, old friend of the show and of the non-league paper, Hakan Hayrettin, sacked at Mason United earlier in the week. We've got George Ellacobi in as the caretaker manager. But in addition, so that came out at the start of the week, but then in addition, at the nearer the end of the week, we learned that it looks like there's going to be a change of ownership imminent, with local businessman and fan Alan Manchett having his offer of controlling ownership share accepted this week. So again, at the start of the week, there was, you know, some fans saying, yeah, he needed to go because they were struggling this season and not as good as last season. But actually, knowing that there's a new owner in, that might also explain why that decision was made. So we don't always know the full information. That's my point there, I guess.
Yeah, I think definitely the two are linked for sure. You know, I know they've had a lot of injuries this year, and I know managers can say it, can't they? But they've had big injuries. They rolled over injuries from last year. Luke was such a big part of their success last season, getting his injury towards the end, and then kicked the ball this year as well. And you know, I think getting out of that National League South was pretty decent achievement in itself. You know, the way that league is now, to win it as well. I mean, I think it just sort of goes to show how football is, as the cliche goes, a funny old game, and you know, you can be it's really sort of all turned around very, very, very quickly. And you know, I know Hakan sort of probably feels a bit aggrieved. He didn't get that chance to kind of get those players back from injury with the new investment coming in, because he sort of bring in some new players and shake things up. And you know, it's a massive step between step 2-1. Yeah. That is one of the biggest steps in the in football, you know. And I think that's probably bigger from what people say to me. You know, I don't know about anything, but you know, people would say that that's a bigger step than step 1 into the National League, into the Football League. It's because of the way that the division is. You know, it's just a monster, that division now. And I think, you know, if you go to those games, there is a different feel around the games. Yeah. General, like, you know, regular league games, there is a different feel between step 2 games and some step 1. You know, obviously there's some massive clubs at step 2, I'm not saying it's not, but you know, there is just a different around it. There's a different everything is
I described it to someone the other day as me flying from Bournemouth Airport, as I have in the past, and flying from Heathrow. I'm not denigrating the people that work
at
Bournemouth, are lovely people. But I can sail through at Bournemouth and come through from landing on the tarmac to be in my car within half an hour. And if I try and do that at Heathrow, I'm lucky if I can even get out of the car park within
three or four hours.
Because, but it is that everything is heightened, isn't it? There's an extra level of anticipation, there's a buzz, there's additional admin, there's additional people needed. It is that next level. And also, saying there's a new potential owner coming in at Mason as well. It's great news with the economy as it is. The football clubs, a football club struggling maybe to facing a relegation, to be able to attract somebody wanting to help the club move forward as well. It is almost, and I'm sure they would have done their due diligence, but it's almost too good to be true as well in the current climate for someone to come in and want to be involved in the football club, hopefully for the right reasons. We're told that he's a fan, so hopefully that's for the right reasons. And then, elsewhere we see other news, another HMRC winding up petition for unpaid tax, this time against Scunthorpe United, who are another club hoping that a sale of the assets and the whole club is going to go through soon. But it sort of highlights that this knife edge that all clubs are living on. You know, it's sort of, as much as a club will have a five-year plan, 5 weeks down the line or 5 hours down the line might be a very different situation. I've known clubs that have lost their major sponsor, and that's completely changed their strategic plan.
Yeah, I think it shows how difficult it is as well. You know, you look at Mason and that growth the club's had since it's gone into its own stadium back in, in Mason, is incredible. The crowds, everything that has been done. Obviously, they've been up before and then gone down and come up again, and they deserve so much credit there for how they've, what's kind of been created. You can see as well that there is that. I don't want to go to Mate. I don't feel that that's necessarily the ceiling for the club as well. I feel that, it can go higher. It shows, in this climate, as you say, the resource that is going around is, so hard to, the National League, as I keep saying, is just a completely, it's a behemoth now compared to, it's like the paper even in 2009, it's completely changed since then. I was growing up watching Farmer Town and paid like £5 to get in. And it was, there'd be like maybe one or two part-time teams in the league who'd come down, who'd been relegated. Full-time teams in the league who'd come down and been relegated. Everyone else was part-time. It's completely different now. And obviously Scunthorpe, often, as we often say, that's why a club is in, come down from non-league, is because they've come down on the back of loads of problems. And just feel for the supporters there and kind of what the situation is, and hopefully it can be resolved and they can get this takeover through and they can start looking to brighter days, as a club as a whole. Obviously the on-pitch situation is not great, and they're in a relegation scrap, but there's a bigger picture probably for the the supporters as well as of keeping their club. You know, we've seen clubs go, haven't we? We've seen what happens and what can happen, and it's hoping that.
And it's always important to keep that hope going. You didn't look at the top of the National League, and you've got a club like Knox County that are top at the moment, and yeah, there's games in hand, and they haven't taken that advantage this week to be able to maybe extend their lead at the top of the table. But there's a club that, again, it probably took that takeover to move them on to this next chapter where they are properly challenging to get back into the Football League.
Yeah, you can see how, you know, well run they are now, and what the club, as you say, it takes a bit of time. It's like with Wrexham as well, you know, it doesn't just happen. It's taken a bit of time to, you know, I was talking to Luke Young today, captain, and he was there before the takeover, and sort of making the point, you know, like winning against Coventry felt like a kind of a bit of a big moment because it was them testing themselves where they are and how far they've come. But he was saying, look how far we've come. And it does take time. And these things don't just happen overnight in football. And you can't just click your fingers and off it goes. And you're saying when you go and talk to Luke Williams, you can sort of see why he went in there because of the way the club was run, how it goes about its business, and you know the recruitment strategy and everything there is now is like a club with direction. And it's the thing, you know, you can't sort of just if a club has no leadership, no direction, and is completely rudderless, you can't just sort of wing it and just rock up at games and somehow find out a way to win because you're going up against, you know, it's ruthless operations now who are, you know, doing and fighting everything they can to get to where they want to be as well. And, you know, it's the same with the clubs that are coming up through it. You know, when a club's coming down out of the Football League, it's, as we say, it's because something's gone drastically wrong and you're coming up against teams that fans may never have heard of as such. But they've been used to winning. Their clubs are running off and running really well. And that's why it's such a hard division that you can sort of suck ex-Football League clubs into it.
Yeah, and again, conversations I've had today with other people talking about they've always had this differentiation between the non-league system or the National League system and grassroots game. But then you've got people, grassroots clubs that haven't been part of the NLS, maybe running themselves in a more organised way than some of those clubs that have been in the NLS. And there's going to be this switchover, like we've seen with Football League clubs coming into the non-league system. We're going to have grassroots clubs as their players get older and move up through the system, coming into the National League system, and maybe some clubs from the National League system moving back to grassroots. It is a constantly evolving thing, but it is a change in resources as well. I know when Wrexham first came down, you know, they maybe had two or three people as part of their media team at most, and I think their media team is probably larger than the non-league papers contingent as a whole now, but that's the growth of the game, I guess.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's, you know, the resources that some clubs have, you know, that's why it makes it so interesting as well, I think, you know, because the haves and the have-nots, they're still competing on the same pitches, and that's kind of what makes a lot of it interesting and seeing how those results pan out, and the fact that nothing is guaranteed. I mean, you know, you look at the National League this year, and three teams, I mean, you can even put Woking, I think, probably on pace for it as well. I can't remember how many games they play, but, you know, they could realistically all get into the 90 points and hit 100 points this year. And only one of them is going to go up for definite, and then anything can happen in the playoffs, as we so often see, you know. So, you know, it's such that is going to be, you know, that's the thing for clubs as well. You can be well run and do everything right, and a result can go against you on the football pitch, and that's it. You don't go up, and you have to go and do it all again. And it's kind of having that resilience and that sort of wiggle room where it's not boom or bust, not everything now. You have, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can still have the solid foundations to keep going. That obviously goes right through through all the levels as well, I guess.
Yeah, and so yeah, the reason we love non-league is we're not all worried about, you know, how many followers you got, how what your attendance is, or how wonderful your new kit is. So of course, your full attention was already going to be on ITV's Love Island in the coming weeks, which is that's the norm nowadays. There's always a non-league contingent involved, and Macclesfield announcing, I think earlier today, that Tom Clare has been given permission for extended leave to take part in the forthcoming season. I'm sure Neil Downs, who I think was given the manager's job until the end of the season, probably agreed that one through gritted teeth.
Well, I think we've spoken about Love Island on here before, and as you may recall, I'm not a. It's not on my. It's not on my planner as such. I don't really know too much about it. But what I do know is this: there is a non-league footballer in there every year, and I saw something. I can't remember. It came up on my phone the other day. And I thought I saw the lineup, and I sort of looked through. And thought, oh, no non-league footballer. And then, as you say, yesterday Macclesfield announced.
They probably done the lineup and then realised, look back through, oh, no non-league.
Well, we're missing the obligatory, it's contracted in somewhere that a non-league footballer has to be in there. But you're going to have to wait to speak to Couchy next week because he is our resident Love Island expert. I'm sure he's.
He sends his video into them every year to try and on the application. But
it wouldn't surprise me if he did turn up on there 1 year because he's. He alerted to me to it this morning. So, a Love Island piece. You know, you talk about figures and social media followers and all this sort of thing. You know, you can write the most beautifully crafted piece about non-league football. Put it on the website and then put one on about something about Love Island and that will get more clicks than you've ever, everything else all year. So it's
maybe the producers at Love Island only choose non-league footballers because they know the clickbait value in it and all the non-league fans will be running and sort of trying to get involved in the Love Island debate. I'm sure that there'll be some mention of it in this weekend's non-league paper. What else can we expect to read in this weekend's paper other than how games have beaten the rain?
Yes, I think there is a Love Island piece in the paper because, engage the younger audience as well. But plenty in there. Like I said, I spoke to Luke Young, Wrexham captain, about the win against Coventry, their draw against Sheffield United, but also about their win against Bromley the other night, which sort of says more about them than anything. You know, how many times you see a team have a great moment on the Saturday and on the Tuesday, it all comes flat and they lose. And I think that's said a lot about Wrexham the other day. I remember Lincoln. I'm sure that they were similar when they had their run, that they would go in that next game on that Tuesday where there's a bit of a fixture pile up and things, and they'd go out and they'd win it, or definitely not make sure they didn't lose it, and that's what you need to be if they want to be in that mix come the end of the season. So spoken to him, spoken to Neil Smith, who's doing a great job at Cray Wanderers. When in the back end of last season, the club really staring relegation down the. In the face, and they were they stayed up on goal difference above Leatherhead. Obviously, went down on the points per game situation that was in operation at step three last year, and they're second in the league now going into the weekend, and I think they're 9 unbeaten and going great guns in the Isthmian Premier, and they've got a massive game on Sunday against Bishop Stortford, who are third. Stortford lost in the playoffs last year in the semis against Chesnut after having a brilliant season, just finishing behind Worthing. They had a great result against Hornchurch over the Christmas period, and then they've lost the last couple, so they'll be looking to put that right against Cray. So a big blockbuster game on Sunday in the Isthmian Premier. And we've got lots of other pieces in as well. We've got Jordan Archer from Southport, Danny Gore from Eastbourne, talking about how they've been going this year. Columnist Steve Hill took his lad and his mates to see Chester up at Brackley the other week. And of course, as we say, those games on, the trophy, the Vars, all those games, a couple of National League games and all the league action as well as we get into this busy chunk of the season.
So plenty to keep us entertained on Sunday, Monday, and probably for the rest of the week as well. Matt Badcock, always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Show. Pleased to have you back amongst it all. Thanks for all your help. Have a great weekend and speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim. Off to watch Love Island now, see what it's all about.
And there we have it. That's this show for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Thank you to everybody for listening to. Remember, you can follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Don't forget to buy your non-league paper on Sunday or Monday this week as well. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.